Okay, so we're going to start. We're learning about Noach a little bit from Rashi, but we're going to start at the end of Bereishis. So there's this, there's a 10 generations from Adam to Noach, right? And if you look at them, there's something that kind of jumps out at you. Okay, so let's take a look at how long they live and when they had kids. So let's start from Adam Harishon, right? It's Perikei, basically, in Bereishis. So Adam Rishon, he lives 130 years before he gives, he has Shace, his son Shace. 130, he lives 930. Okay? So Shace is, the Pasuk Vav, Chamesh Shanim Me'ashas, 105 years old. Okay, and he lives 800 and something. Okay, then Enosh is 90 years old when he has Canaan. Okay, once again, he lives a long time. Canaan is 70 years. And he has Mahalalel. Mahalalel is 65 when he has Yared, Pasuk Tes Vav. Yared is 162 when he has Chanoch. Chanoch is 65. And Chanoch has Misu Shelach, who's so 187. Okay? And then you get to Lemech. Oh, we can't miss him, yeah. So Lemech is 182 years old when he has Noach. Okay, pretty good, pretty good. It's close.
Yeah, we have in the art scroll.
Oh, it actually does this for you?
On page, well, not exactly.
Wow, that would have been nice.
It shows you the count.
That would have been nice.
Each person's like lifespan.
Oh, how long they live.
And then you can figure out where they were born, because that's where the...
Oh, okay, fine.
Right, that's, yeah.
So that's pretty good. Pretty good. They have a chart somewhere. I've seen charts of
back,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fancy stuff. Well, okay, fine. So we'll just do it the hard way. Okay, and now you have Noach. Okay, now what about Noach? It says, now Pasuk Lam Beis. Vayinoach ben chamesh me'oshana vayolid Noach eshem eschom vesyapes. So 500 years old. Sheikham Yapes. So it just jumps out at you. It's like totally off. Right? Why is everybody else is around 60, 70, 80, 100, 180, somewhere between around 100, 200 years, right? But Noach is 500 years. Okay? So that's the first, that's the problem. That's the main problem. Now, when does the Mabul happen? How old is Noah when the Mabul occurs? Okay? So this is important. When and how old is Noah? So let's see if we can figure this out. This is openly stated, I believe. It's Perek Zion, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right? Ishnas Sheish Me'oshana L'chaye Noah. So when Noah is 600 years old, right, Bechodesh Hasheni, exact dates, right, month. Nifku kol minos tehom rabba ruvus eshmai miftachu. Okay, so that's the beginning of the Mabul. So Noach is 600 years old. So that's how you deduce that Noach's oldest son is 100 years old. Because he started having kids when he was 500, right? And his oldest son was 100 at the time of the Mabul. Right, and you can learn from there that Shem was 2 years younger than Yefes, because Shem gave birth 2 years after Shem had his kid, 2 years after the Mabul. That says it somewhere. Okay, fine. So basically, his oldest son, Noah's oldest son, was 100 years old at the Mabul. Right? When does Noach get the tzivoy to build the teva? Okay, how old is Noach? Right? How old is Noach? No idea. Okay, good. So this is new stuff. New stuff. Okay, so let's look at the tzivoy to build the teva. It starts off. It's beginning of Parshas Noach, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rabbi Yomer Kima Noach Kates Kol Basar Balafanai Kima Aretz Chamas Mivnehem V'Ni Mashchisamas Aretz Asei Lecha Teva Asei Gofer. Okay. Let's, if you skip down to Pasuk Yud Ches, right? Vakimosi es briti itach, uvasa ateva atu vanecha vishtecha neshe vanecha itach. And he's going to make a bris with Noach that you and your wife and your children and their wives, they're all going to be able to go into the ateva. right? So it would seem from the psukim on its face value that Noach already has, right? Already has kids at this point, and they're married. Okay, you can't say that though. Okay, when Noach gets this, there's no, the Torah is out of order a little bit, right? Because Noach, we said, had kids when he was 500 years old, 100 years before the Mabul. But if you look at pasuk, and we're going to settle down a little bit, we just have to jump a little bit back and forth. But if you look at in the end of Parshas Bereishis, it says, Perek Hey Pasuk Gimel. Right, Vayomer Hashem Lo Yadon Ruchi Va'adam Olam B'Shagam Huvasar V'Hayu Yom of Meiv Esrim Shana. Right, so the days of man are numbered now 120 years. Okay, so that's really the Gzeir of the Mabul is 120 years before the Mabul. So if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, it says Vayhi Yomav Ad Kufchav Shana Erech Lahem Api. So for 120 years there was Erech Apayim, that the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wipe them out. It gave them 120 years to do tshuva. Okay, and that's really the beginning of the building of the Teva. V'im lo yashuvu aveleh mabul. And if they don't do tshuva, so then God's going to bring them out. We'll say 120 years to do tshuva. And then Rashi says, V'im tomar Mishanoad Yefes Adam Mabul Ein Ela Meir Shana. Right, from the time Yefes was born, the oldest was only 100 years. Ein Mukta Mocha B'Torah Kvar Haisik Zer Gezura Esrim Shana Kodim Shehel Enoch Toldos V'chem Etzid V'Seder Olam. Okay, so that's Rashi, obviously does the math also, not so complicated this one. And he's basically the Gzera of the Mabul, which is very interesting, because the Gzera of the Mabul in the original Nevuah to Noach to build the Teva occurs 20 years before Noach even has kids. And included in that, in that Nevuah that Noach had for the Mabul is this bris that God makes with him, that he's going to be able to go into the Teva, and he's not going to, him and his wife and his kids and their wives, before he even has kids. He's 480 years old, right? And he doesn't even have any children at this point. Strange, we still haven't explained that. And he's getting a Nevuah that, don't worry, your kids will be fine, your wife will be fine, everybody's going to live on this Teva. Okay, and if you look at the Rashi over there, back to Perek Vav, right, it says, let's see, Pasuk Yudalin, yeah, right. Pasuk Yudalin, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudalin. So Rashi tries to explain what's the idea of the Teva. Why did Hashem command Noach to build the Teva? So he says like this, Harbe Revach Vatzal Afanav. So God has many ways of saving, many ways of saving Noach. Is it tzaddik? How many ways does God have? Harbi shlukim yishlam akum, right? Many ways. V'lam etrichu b'binyin zeh. Why does he make Noach have to build this teva? It's a big teva. You know, and back then, technology wasn't really developed like it is nowadays. You know, it must have been a very difficult, it was a big ark. Very big. Very big. But not that big, you know. We'll get to that. Okay. They should see him, Osik Ba, Kuf Chav Shana, they should see him building it for 120 years. Vishon also, Mazos Lecha, what are you doing? So what are you building this big boat? Right? Vahu Omer Lam, Asidakash Barkalavi Mabul Olam Ula Yeshuva. So he's gonna tell them, right? He's gonna tell them you should do tshuva, and God's gonna bring a flood to wipe everybody out. And that's like the whole purpose of building the Teva, right? So, and if you see, if you look at the Teva, it's like it was constructed specifically to reflect this fact that this is not just, Noach's not just building a yacht, you know what I mean? He's not deciding it's time for a yacht, you know? But it's a special kind of a boat, because if you look the door, right? That's one of the key things in the tzivoy. Where's the pasuk which tells him where to put the door? In pasuk Tazayin, right? Upesach hateva betzida tasim, right? So you put the door of the boat on the side, right? Which is it's unusual, right? You wouldn't normally, if you're building a boat, if you know, on the yacht, you go with the doors on the top of the top deck. You have the door to get in, and then you go down. And that makes sense because the water is on the bottom and the sides, right? Why would you put the door on the side of the ark. Doesn't really make sense. Unless you have information that it's going to be raining very hard from the top, right? So then you don't want the door to be on top. It's going to get in. So it's made, the teva is like an escape hatch, right? For safety. Like he's building a strange looking object. It has no windows, one window, right? Basically, you don't have any windows here. It's basically, he's building something that's an escape pod for him and his family and the animals, right? So, and it's done so that they can see and say, well, what are you doing? And he's going to tell them in order, you know, for 120 years, it takes a long time, like we said, it's a very big boat. It takes a long time so they can do tshuva. So now,
if they did tshuva, then God wouldn't have destroyed it.
Correct. Even if they had done tshuva at the very last moment, once the rain's already started, right, that's the Rashi on where the rain starts. It came as geshamim. Right, where does it say? It says, Vahi Geshem. It's Pasuk, I think, Yud Beis. It's Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. It says, Vahi Geshem Al Haaretz. Right? And Rashi says, Ohono Omer Vahi Mabel. And it was a flood. So was it rain or was it a flood? So Rashi says, Ela Kisho Ridon Haridon Berachamim. It was coming down like regular, good, beautiful rain. Rachamim, mercy. So if they were to do tshuva at that point, not only would they not have a mabul, but this is good rain. It would cause their crops to grow. It would have been a gishmei bracha. Great, right, rain for a bracha. But then it turned into a mabul. They always had the chance to do tshuva. And the entire project of the teva, building the teva, the whole objective of it was not because God needed some way to save Noah, but it was to create a spectacle of this huge project of building this big boat, this escape, this boat to, you know, a survivor's boat, in order that they should take it to heart and get serious that if they don't do tshuva, God's going to wipe out the whole world. Right? Of course, they didn't listen so good. Right? We know the story. That part we're not going to go into. But they were stubborn, very stubborn. But that was the purpose of the... Okay, good. So now the thing is like this. So Noah, once again, why didn't he have kids? Right? So I'll tell you what I once wanted to say, and my friends thought I was crazy, but, and you know, I thought it was good, but then I saw Rashi has learned that way, so now I realize it's no good. Okay? But, so I once wanted to say like this, is that part of what was so bad about the sin of the Dor HaMabul, right? So it was a society which was so evil that a tzaddik couldn't even exist in it. Right, you couldn't even have. It's like there's certain types of societies that are evil, but like tzaddikim are able to flourish. If they're able to, they can live in their own little corner, make their own little bubble, and they can exist and they can have their own little community or even individual tzaddikim families. Fine, but the Dor HaMabul had gotten so bad with Rashi as a gazelle. There was a breakdown of the economic private property, right? And you couldn't really in a society where there's no private property, you can't have economic activity, and there's people, there's the Zara Rios that break down the morality of the society, but it was impossible for even an individual who was a tzaddik to really exist and to have a family in that situation. So Noach basically didn't have a family. He couldn't. There's no point. What's the point of bringing a kid into a world like that? You can't exist like that. They're all going to become evil. And if they're going to be righteous, the tzaddikim, they're not going to be able to exist anyway. They're not, you know. So Noach, I was thinking, didn't have kids on his own. He decided not to have children. And only once after he got the Haftacha that him and his wife and his kids and their wives will be safe on the Teva, did they start to have kids. Because if you look, that's what Rashi says on that Pasuk in Pasuk Yirches. Vakimosis briti itach. So Rashi says, Pasuk Yirches. It was a bris hayitzarech al perish l'erkivu v'yavshu. So you need the fruit wouldn't spoil, right? You didn't have canned tuna exactly. He needed a special. And v'shul yargu rishayim shabador, that they shouldn't kill him. That he needed a special promise from God in order that these rishayim wouldn't kill him. And in fact, in the end, they did try to break into the teva and destroy the teva in the end when they had to have the animals protect him. Right? Right. No? Okay, well, we're not going to go that Rashi. Okay. So the thing is, so then once he saw that he has haftacha from God, that you're going to have kids and they'll be fine, they're going to, so God's promising him that their shayim aren't going to kill you and they're not going to kill your family, and then he started having kids.
So the Dor HaMabul was 480 years?
What do you mean?
Like it was an evil society for 480 years?
Oh, it could have been for even longer than that. But Noah was 400. Oh, you mean how long were they?
Meaning at year 200, it might not have been such a bad society. It could have had a kid.
Oh, apparently it was pretty bad, according to this pshat. But according to Rashi, you don't have to say this.
Okay,
the flaw in the pshat really is like this, okay? It's he got the Nevuah when he was 480 years old, but he didn't start having kids till he was 500. So why, once he has this Nevuah, you have a 20-year gap, right? So it doesn't really work out, because he should have had kids when he was 480. And Yefesh should have been 120 years old in the time of the Mabul, right? So why is his oldest kid only 100, not 120? Because he has this promise when he was 480. Right, so what you can still you can work it. Go ahead.
He doesn't want him to be exposed to it.
But what? He has the what?
He doesn't want him to be exposed to the society, so he waits.
He waited 20 years.
Yeah, just wait.
I have a question.
Just wait a little bit.
I like that.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
If we know that Noah doesn't have sons at this point when he got the Nevuah, how do we know he was even married when he got the Nevuah?
Oh, maybe he wasn't married yet.
And maybe 20 years is to find
out. He's got to find a wife. He's got to start dating. Should have dating back then. It took 20 years. It was much slower back then. It took 120 years to build a boat. Getting married 20 years is quick.
But it was in that kind of society. How do we know it took so long just to find somebody he could even...
Correct. Do you know who he married? Do you know who he married?
No, it doesn't say in the chart.
No, it says his wife was Nama. You know who Nama was? It's interesting. If you look at his side point. Noah's wife, yeah. But who is she a descendant of?
Adam.
That's you're good. Well, she was a descendant of Cain. Cain, who is seven generations and then gets wiped out at the end. Right? Because the entire chain of man goes from Shase, the other son of Noah. But Cain kills Havel, and then in seven generations later, his chain ends, right? But he has a daughter whose name is Nama. It's Pasuk, Perek Dal, Pasuk Chav Beis. Right? Vachos Tuva Kayin Nama. And Rashi says, Vachos Tuva Kayin is Nama, he Ishtel Shel Noach. Right? So it's interesting that Kayin, his great-great-granddaughter, was the wife of Noach. So the lineage of man really is comprised of Shase. Right? Hevel obviously got killed. That was unfortunate. That was bad. And Cain also, his male descendants ended, but his female descendants went on the ark, right? Because of Nama. So I don't know what the significance of that, but it's just like an interesting point. Right? That could be why God let him live for seven more generations, something good that was going to come from him. That's a separate point. Okay, fine. So you could say this, 20 years to get married, have kids. The other thing you could say is Noach, you see, Rashi says by Noach, he has a certain personality. He was a tzaddik, but he wasn't Avraham Avinu, right? That's Rashi makes that point. Abundant throughout, he's not on the level of Avraham. So you know the famous Rashi of he's a mamin vein a mamin. Famous Rashi. Okay, so when Noah goes into the, so it starts raining, right? So Rashi Noah goes in mitnei mehamabel, right? Where is that? It's in pasuk perek zayin pasuk zayin. So because of the waters of the flood. So Rashi says, he says, Af Noach mikatne amuna haya. So even Noach was a mikatne amuna. He had a small amount of amuna. He was lacking in amuna. Hayamamim eino mamim. He believed, but he didn't really believe. So he, when the water first started coming down, it was like good rain, right? So even though he knew God tells him, go into the teva, it's going to happen. The rain came down, it was good rain. He didn't really believe. He didn't go into the teva. So he waited until the torrential downpour really started, and then, everybody, we better get into this teva. Because he wasn't really a mamon. God's really going to wipe out the entire world, so he wasn't totally a mamon, right? That was one of his lackings, right? His defects. But you can say that, therefore, even though he had Avtacha, he didn't really fully trust in it. So after 20 years, he saw that they can't kill him, so then he had confidence, he trusted, and then he had kids. Okay, that's the other thing you could say. But that's not the way Rashi goes, and therefore, Mustama's wrong. Mustama. Okay, so here's the Rashi that we're going to really focus on. It's the Rashi is in the end of Bereishis. It's Perek Vav, Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Okay, so it says Vayinoch ben Chamish Meyoshana Vayolenoch Hashem es Chametz Yafes. So Rashi like this. It's based on a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. It says Amar of Yudan. Ma tam kol adaros halalu lekuf shana. So all these other generations, they have kids when they're 100 years old. Vizeh l'tafkuf, this Noach when he's 500 years old, right? What's the whole reasoning for this? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. Im reshayim heim yavdu emayim v'ra l'tzadik zeh. So if, let's say he's in Manavshach, okay, Manavshach. Let's say Noach has kids and it's when he's, 100 years old. So he's going to have a bunch of kids. And the question is like this. If they're going to be Rishayim, so they're going to have to die in the marble. And that's going to be bad for Noach, right? Even though they're Rishayim, a person that's his own kids, he's not going to be happy about that. So it's going to be bad for Noach. Vim tzadikim heim, and if they're tzadikim, right? Atriach alav lasos tevas harbin. So then I'm going to be matriachim to make a bunch of arks for all his kids. It's going to be a huge tircha for Noach. Huge. So what does he do? Kavash is ma'ino, v'lo holid. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him, right? He made him non-fertile. So he wasn't able to have kids for a few hundred years, 400 years, until he's 500 years old. V'lo holid ad tuf kuf shana. And Noach was not able to have kids until he was 500 years old. Kidei shelo yeh yefes ha'gadol shebebonav roi la'onshin lefnei ha'mabal. In order that his oldest son Yefes shouldn't be roiv to be punished, okay, he shouldn't be able to be punished before the Mabel, right? Because Yefes was only up almost 100 years old at the Mabel, so Yefes shouldn't be over 100 years old. Why? Dechziv ki hanar ben mea shana yumas roi laonesh lasid. Okay, it's a nevuah of Yeshayahu. So it says when a boy, a nar, right, a teenager. Is when he's 100 years old, that's when he's roy to be punished, to get killed. Right? He'll be chayav misa. And that's in the future, in Yimos HaMashiach, right? Which is Rashi's Olam Haba, right? So when he's 100 years old, that's when he'll be roy to be punished. He's for Beis Din Shalmala will punish him when he's 100 years old.
The Chaim. Did it before?
That what?
First step he did before he was 100, or only for the stuff he did after he was 100?
For, I guess, things he does after he's 100. But if you're a Rashi when you're 100, odds are you're going to sin right away.
Wait,
keep that in mind. That's why you don't want to be a Rashi when you're 100.
That's a future,
yeah. Very hard to change your ways at that point. 100 years.
Well, you have 100 years to change your ways.
What? Beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But once you're 100, you better sure you'll be a good guy. Because then you're going to be punished. Then God will punish you for your misdeeds. And Rashi saying,
if you were up until you were 100, then you'd chew about 100.
You're fine. You're good. Okay, and v'chein lefnei matan Torah. So the same thing before matan Torah, that Beis Din Shalmala didn't punish you until you're 100 years old. Okay, so we're going to go into that a little bit. It's kind of strange, right? Seems like a good deal. Seems like a real good deal. Yeah, I'll take it. But so the Pshat and Rashi, if they try to understand this Rashi, Pshat and Rashi is that if they were underneath 100, so then they weren't really judged on their own, because it's right after Matan Torah, what's the age that Beis Din Shalmala punishes a person?
20.
20 years old, right. So now he gets 20 years old. Now when Beis Din, a regular Beis Din Shalmata, right, a regular court, when they punish you? 13, right? So 13 years old. So with Beis Din Shalmala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to punish a person, let's say Misa B'dei Shemayim, things like that, when a person's 20 years old. Right, but if before Matan Torah, and not so simple, we'll see. It's not so simple before Matan Torah, and after and Asalava Yimos Mashiach, right? It means for this Rashi's learning. It means for Gayim, right? For Gayim, it's Machlokes and Bereishis Rabba, because in Yimos Mashiach, Jews Klal Yisrael is not going to die, right? Bila Mavus Netzach, right? There's not going to be Misa, but it's Machlokes whether Gayim will die also. Okay, so. This is Rashi's going to coin the Mandam holds that Goyim will die. They'll just have a much longer lifespan, like it was before Matan Torah. So then, at 100 years old, they'll be roy for punishment in Beis Din Shalmala.
And it's the same as it was back.
The same as it was, right. Basically, it'll go back in Yemos Mashiach for Goyim, it'll go back to the way it was before Matan Torah, right, like the Dor HaMavol. And for Klal Yisrael, there's not going to be any Misa, right? It's Olam Haba for most Rishonim, right? Rashi, at least. Okay, so now the question is like this. Is first of all, we have to go into, I don't want to take up a little bit, it's like a little bit of a murky area. What exactly the Misa B'deishon, Beis Din Shalmala, what's that concept, 20 years, 100 years, 13, these different ages, you know? But before that, I just have a simple question. Is what's this Miman of Shach? I understand if they're a Shayim, they're going to die in the, right, and they're going to be 100, over 100 years old, taking it for granted that they're going to be judged on their own, so then fine, they're going to be, that's bad for Noach, right? But let's say they're tzaddikim. So he says, why isn't God one if they're tzaddikim? Because it's going to be a triachal, it's going to be a big tircha for Noach to have to make a lot of tevas, a lot of boats, right? So why? Well, why can't they just all go into this one teva? Right? He fit every single animal in the world, right? I mean, the boat isn't that, look, it's a big boat, it took a long time to build, but I mean, every single animal in the world, 7 from the kosher, 2 from the non-kosher, right? So it was a miracle, right? That's the Ramban that it was a nace. It was a nace that all the animals fit on the boat. So why did God tell him to make it even that big? Just make a small little boat. So he says, you're remite in the nace as much as possible. Right? You're not, you don't, you, look, he's got to build a boat a certain size. You want to minimize the miracle, but ultimately, you're not really going to be able to build a boat that's big enough to hold every single animal, right? That's, that can fit on the table, right? That it's going to fit on the table. It's a lot of animals, and they need space. Plus, it seems that Noah had to keep the males and the females separate because the animals weren't allowed to, right, have bee on the teva. Right, they were usher. The animals were usher. Tashra Shamita. Right? What? You know that Rashi? Oh, yeah. You know that Rashi?
Did you say that?
Classic. Yeah, so you have to keep the males and females separate. We'll see if we can find that later.
Just don't give them any beds.
What? That's what he did. No, but it seems you have to keep them separately. Okay, we'll go into that a little bit later. Maybe not. Oh yeah, it's Pasuk Yud Zayin. Parakhas Pasuk Yud Zayin.
Is he saying they have to build many more because then like his kids would be having kids? And...
Yeah, think about it. Let's say he had kids when he was 100 years old, right? And then Mabel comes when he's 500. That's 500 years of having kids. So let's say he has a kid every 2 years, right? You could be every year. Who knows? How many wives are you going to have? Right? We don't know. But let's say every 2 years. So at that point, just let's say every 2 years, we'll be conservative. That's 250 kids. Right? But each of those kids, right, when they're 100, they have kids. So that first generation has 300 years of having kids themselves. So those first 250, each has 750. And those, it's just exponential growth. By the time the table comes, you could have, you know, 10,000, 100,000 kids.
Maybe society won't be so bad.
Well,
society won't be so bad.
Yeah, that's one argument.
Or they'll just integrate into society.
Yeah, good, exactly. Maybe they'll improve the society, right? I mean, they'll have a lot of kids. It could be the exponential growth might not work as well, you know.
Strange Rashi.
Just make, right, and just look, I mean, that's my question. Is I struggle with this. I was hoping to have some, you know, really, the answer was too simple, so it doesn't really open up anything, but.
Noah only had 3 kids, yes?
3 kids, yeah, in 100 years.
That's it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. I mean, maybe he's not having kids every 2 years. I'm exaggerating exponential growth.
Rashi says Hashem made him infertile until whenever. It could be Hashem made him infertile completely and then just allowed him to have kids
stopped
as an exception and then he went back to
normal. Does seem that way because Shem was only 2 years younger than Yefes. I'm not sure how old Cham was, but it seems like within 2 years he has 2 of his kids and Cham, we know, is the youngest. So I don't know exactly how old Cham was. But yeah, it does seem like maybe they were all within a few years of each other. 2 years. Maybe Cham was 2 years younger than that. And that was it. So not to have too many kids. But I don't get it. It's still, just if you're going to make a miracle to bring all the animals onto the table, so then have a miracle and put all his kids on the table. The miracles, right? And Chazal said it themselves, right? There's the whole teva bothers Rashi. Why do you even have to build a teva? Right, Harbe Revach Lefanov, Harbe Revach Matzal Lefanov, right, the Teva itself is just to show them this whole thing. And now all of a sudden, Noach's not having kids because God doesn't want to have him build so many tevas. No, Harbi Revach Lefonov. Poof, a couple of miracles. Right, a couple of miracles, and then everybody fits on one teva. You don't even need the first teva, you didn't even need. Well, it's the first teva, right? You didn't even need it. God could have taken care of a miracle. The only reason Rashi says you need that first teva is that they see that the umbilical teva, they say, what are you doing? You do tshuva. Right? So why isn't these Rashi's a contradiction, right? It's Harbi Revach Lefonov. You just do a miracle. For the animals, you do a miracle, not for these Noach's kids. Oh, so what's the pshat? Right, it's a tough question. I was thinking about this so hard. It's so hard. Okay, simple pshat. It's so simple, there's nothing more you can get from it. Okay, that's the problem. It's like this. Is that what would have happened, you see, if Noach has this huge family and he's building this little boat? Right? So people go to him, oh, it's a nice boat you got there. What's that? Why you put the door on the side? Oh, well, the rain's going to rain, it's going to flood the whole world, everybody's going to die, the end of the world is coming, it's the end of the world, you know, they've heard it before, right? This doomsday sayers, you know what I mean? People, the end of the world, and he's building this escape, you know. Okay, fine, it's interesting, but like, it's a small little boat, you got a lot of family, how's your family going to get on there? Oh, you know, it's going to be some miracle, we'll just pack them down, and it'll be all, you know, it doesn't look credible. See, it's not credible. If you're going to build, if you really believe and you know that a flood is coming, is going to wipe out the entire world, and you're going to take your whole family, and you're building a boat, so then you got to build a boat big enough to hold your whole family. So you're going to have to build many boats. You can't just build one little boat.
It's a huge boat.
Not that big. Okay? It's like, how big is the boat? How many? Shalosh meos ama orech ateva. So it's 300 amos.
It's the biggest boat anyone's ever seen.
It's like 600 feet.
No,
they have big
aircraft carriers.
600 feet, it's not that. Look, it's big for back then. I was telling you it's a big boat, but now I'm telling you it's a small boat.
By the way,
I feel like
it's a boat you can put in your pocket. 600 feet is nothing.
I feel like an aircraft carrier could carry all those species.
Well, look, if you have these like cruises nowadays, you know what I mean? But I don't know if the technology was advanced at that point. To build a cruise ship. This boat, 600 feet, took them 120 years. Right, do you know what I mean?
What's another 80? Get it to an even 200.
Well, imagine the exponential growth. You have thousands of shipyards. See, I was thinking that also. See, here's the problem also. But if you have more kids, you have more workers. So let them build the boats also.
But do you necessarily have more trees for wood?
Oh, the trees. That's it. Very good. Because now you have to go out further to get the trees. See, you can build one boat relatively quickly, 120 years, not so bad. Okay?
You regrow the trees as they're going.
What?
You regrow the trees as they're going.
Oh, trees. It takes time for trees to get. You want to use the redwoods, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'd say gopher. How quickly does a gopher tree grow?
Not very quickly, it sounds like.
It's like every 120 years or something, not so quickly. We don't know. We don't know exactly. We can Wikipedia later. The gopher tree, the famous gopher tree. So. That's the thing. It could be that even if you have more workers, it's just going to be too many. It's going to be crazy. You have a whole shipyard, 1,000 boats. It's going to be impossible. That was too much of a tircha. Then Noah's going to spend his entire life running around trying to build 1,000 boats. And you couldn't build. See, this is the main point, is that the whole teva itself was unnecessary. God could have done a miracle and saved Noah. He didn't need to build a teva. Right? So Kolshkin, he could have done it to save his kids, and all the animals fit in there. Right? The whole point of the teva was to demonstrate to the Dor HaMabul the reality of the fact that there's going to be a mabul coming. And like, it had to be real. It had to be in front of their faces, right? Now, they didn't believe, right? Even Noach himself, Af Noach, Rashi says, Af Noach, Mekatne Amunah Haya. Right? The door mabul kolshkin, they were Mekatne Amunah. They didn't really believe. Noach himself wasn't really sure. Mamon Veino Mamon. But the point was, God was trying his best to make it real to these people that if you don't do tshuva in 120 years... you're going to get wiped out. So that's the whole objective of building an ark. And it had to be credible that Noah himself believed it. And if Noah was building a boat that's too small to fit his entire family, then it doesn't seem, it's not going to accomplish the purpose of the teva of causing the Dor HaMabul to do tshuva. Okay, so therefore, God stopped him from having kids. It would have been crazy. It would have been insane for him to have to try to build a boat for every one of his kids. It would have been too much. Okay, and if they were Shayim, what's the point of that? Okay, fine. But now we get to the other parts. Now you have the thing is Rashi says if Lifnei Matan Torah, right? Lifnei Matan Torah, the onesh, misibi, they were punished when they were 100 years old. Okay? Now, why was that? Where is this, right, where does this number come from and what's it based on? Okay? So first, let me show you a stira in Rashi's. Right? There's a problem in Rashi's. So the Rashi in Chayisara. This one really is famous, this one. Right? Rashi says, in the first pasuk, Chayisara. Right? Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Vayiyu Chayisara Mea Shana Vesrim Shana Vesheva Shana. Right? So the Torah spells out all the years of Sarah's life. Right? 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. But it doesn't say 127. It's Mea Shana, Esrim Shana, Sheva Shana. So Rashi is like this. L'kach nichta of Shana b'chol klav klal. Lo melcho shekol echad nidrash le'atzmo. Right? To be dorish each one on its own. He says, Bas kuf kibas chaf. She was 100 years old, like a 20-year-old. L'chit, vis-a-vis sin. Ma bas chaf lo chata. Just like somebody who's 20 years old hasn't sinned, because Misa b'dei Shemayim is 20 years. Everybody knows that. Beis Din Shemayim doesn't punish you until you're 20 years old. Right? Sheri ina bas onshim, until you're 20 years old. Af bas kuf b'lochei. Right? So to 100, she was like without sin. Even when she was 100, it was like she was 20, because she wasn't bas onshim. She didn't sin. Right? But what was this Rashi? It's a stira, because Rashi before said that up to 100 years before Matan Torah, you weren't royal onshim until you were 100 years old.
Someone sneaked her a Torah.
What?
Someone sneaked her a Torah.
Oh, you mean the Avos had the Torah. That's a good shot. That's a good shot. You mean the Avos had the Torah. Rashi does learn that way. Okay?
Not the Torah, Torah.
Well, what do you mean, not the Torah, Torah? Torah, that one? They had the song.
Saying, isn't that a time period?
Very good.
It's
not
the Torah, it's
Matan Torah. No, Rashi holds that the others learned Torah.
Very nice. They really. They didn't have. It's just the thing is saying it's before and after
Matan. Oh, before Matan Torah.
It's not Torah.
That's very good. Yeah, Rashi is before Matan Torah. Even though they learned the Torah. But you want to say, since they learned Torah, according to Rashi, right? It's like they were Matan Torah. Yeah, the problem is Rashi learns that Noah learned Torah also. You see, Rashi says, where does it say? Very good, Kendall. I like the approach. Okay, where does it tell him? It tells him when he says the Behema Tahora, right? Remember, where's that one? Who can find that one? Who can find that one? Pasuk Beis. Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis. Is Mikol Behema Tahora, Tikach Lachashiva Shiva, Ishvishto. What does Behema Tahora mean? Behema Tahora means as Simonim, right? Split hooves and choose its cut. So Rashi says, Hasida Lios Torah Yisrael. It means Tahora means that which will be future, Tikla Yisrael. Right? Lamdeini, we learn from here, Shalom Noach Torah, the Noach learned Torah, else how is he supposed to know Behema Tahora? So it's true, Rashi will be Avos learned Torah, but so did Noach. Okay, and presumably he taught his kids. So it's not going to work.
Well,
it's a good approach.
Would you have to say that he taught his kids Torah? Because you have the yeshiva Shem Vever.
Shem Vever, yeah, for sure. And Yaakov learned there for 14 years.
Right.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Everybody's learning Torah, no question. So it's not going to work, okay? Not going to work. Good approach. Okay, so I'll tell you the way I think the answer is like this. Is Kodem Matan Torah doesn't mean that up until Matan Torah, it was 100 years old, Beis and Shamal punishes you. And from Matan Torah on, it's 20 years old. It wasn't a discrete point where it changed over. But rather it means when people were living to 800, 900, and they were having kids at 100, so the whole lifespan of a person, people aged differently back then. Okay, we're not going to get into the science of this. We're living in Rashi's world, and the Torah's, right? This is a simple little pshat of the Torah. It's like people were having kids 100 years old, Their sexual maturity is later on in life. They're not able to have kids at 20 years old. They can't, right? Nobody has kids that young, and they were dying at a later age, right? There's a relationship. That's what I want to. I'm not gonna get into this one of the relationship between the lifespan of a person and when they have kids. I think those two things are related, right? If you want me to get into
it. You're going to say within the first fifth of somebody's life they're not mature enough to have kids yet?
It has to do with evolution, natural selection. I'll tell you in one sense. If you understand, you understand. If you don't, you don't. Is that natural selection only works up to the point of where you can have kids. Once you can no longer have kids, any survival advantage you have is not going to be relevant to future generations. So that's why once people stop having kids, let's say people stop in general, stop having kids, you know, women are 40, 50, men generally also around time, even the men could in theory. So you see your body will start to break down after that point, because what's the point of nature designing a liver or a heart for a person after he's not going to have kids anymore? It's not going to... Those people who have better hearts that live till they're 500 don't have any more kids. So there's no evolution, there's no natural selection to help a person have kids. So when you shorten earlier when a person has kids, and when they stop having children, you're also going to be shortening their lifespan also. Of course, that should take many, many generations to work, so I don't know. Okay, not gonna, that's just particulars, just particulars. Okay, so if, as you see, from Noach to Avraham, right, all of a sudden things change in terms of how old they live and when they have kids. But you see it got shrunken down. Let's see, where does that, the Torah do that? It's the end of Parshas Noach. We have the, it goes through the ages of them. It's Perek Yud, right? So Shem was born before the Mabul, right? So he's a pre-Mabul baby, right? The pre-Mabul baby. And he lived, he is Arpachshad, Shnasai Macher Mabul, 2 years after Mabul, right? That's how we learned that Shem was 98 during the Mabul. So he has, so he lives 600 years old, Shem, right? And he has his first kid 2 years after the Mabul, and he's 100 years old, right? So he's like the perfect 100 years old, the pre-Mabul baby, pre-Mabul generation, 100 years old, has a kid, lives till 600. But then now Arpachshad was born after the Mabul, 2 years after the Mabul. So how does he chai chamesh u'shloshim shana, 35 years? So he's living 35 years, he has a baby. So you see all of a sudden people are having children much younger age.
Wait, how did that work? How did that happen in just one generation?
Atmospheric changes, genetic, I don't know. Okay. That's the Ramban. I don't know. These are one of the hardest parts of the Torah to try to understand how the ages of people. But I mean, look, these are the facts. You got to go through the facts, figure out the patterns of their age and how it's decreasing and when they're having kids, right? So you see his kid's 35, and he lives. How long does he live? He lived Shalosh Shanim V'Arba Meis, so 400 years, 403, right? Shelach is 30 years old when he has Aver, and he only lived, again, 400 years. Aver is 43. Okay, probably will go a different time. So then they start living about 200 years, right? And by Avraham, it's 200, and Reu is 200, and he lives 207 years, right? He has kids at 32. Avraham lived only 175. It's right. Yaakov is only 137. Moshe Ben is 120. So you see, basically, you go from Adam HaRishon, where it starts around 1,000 years, 930. Mishushalach is the longest, close to 1,000. And slowly, the Gzeira of Adam HaRishon, that people are going to die now after the first Chet. So it was implemented slowly, right? People's ages start decreasing from 1,000 years to like 800, 700, 600, and then there's a 400, and then it goes down to around 200. So as the lifespan became compressed, the years of where they hit sexual maturity became earlier, and the when they started being punished, liable for punishment, Bidei Shemayim, became earlier. Okay, so when Rashi says Kodem Matan Torah is 100, I don't think he means it was exactly 100. It means it's a certain point in a person's development, it occurred, and for the Dor HaMabul, where they had kids at 100, they started being punished at 100. But by the time Sarah, right, it had already gone down to basically close to Matan Torah. She lived only 127, not much longer than, once Matan Torah, the ages of man became fixed. That's about 70, 80 years, right? So that's in Matan Torah, it stopped, it plateaued, and that's it, and it no longer decreased. Once you came to Matan Torah, the ages became fixed. So Sarah was around that time, a few generations earlier. So that's why it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to apply to somebody who's only lived 127 years, that when they're 100 years old, they're going to be punished. Because it means something else. It gives you a clue into like what the concept is. Right? It would seem one possibility is that it's tied to when you have children. They had children when they were 100, and they became liable, the Dor HaMavol. They became liable by Beis Din Shel Mala when they were 100 years old. While for, let's say, us, is people have kids around 20, right? Ben Shimon Esrei L'Chutba, 18 years old, ready to get married, right? Hopefully all you guys, 18, you're all married, right? No? No? Okay, so then 20 years old, it's right around the same time when you get married, when you have kids. If you get married at 18, you have kids around 20, right? So it's around the same time of when you have children. So the question is, what's the idea? There's a question. Basically, this is what I want to take up, the last point here, is what's the idea of Beis Din Shel Mala punishes a person at that age? It doesn't have to. I have a couple, one or two different ideas. And also, why should Beis Din Shel Mata punish you at 13? And Beis Din Shel Mala punish you at 20. Why is there this discrepancy between when a person is punished by a court, right, a regular court, a human court, and why Kadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of the Din Shel Mala, why is that go at a different age? Any suggestions?
At the earlier age, for the answer of why 13 for a human court and 20 for
What's the difference between a human court, the criteria a human court goes by, and okay, so I'll tell you the answer. Go ahead. Got an idea?
I mean, with the base and human court, it's not like the teshuva.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
that's good. That's important.
When you do teshuva, I mean, you're still gonna be punished.
You're still gonna be punished. For sure, we're still going to kill you.
Yeah.
If you kill somebody, you do tshuva.
You even say
right,
that
correct. That's a good point. That's definitely another difference. And Beis Din Shel Mata won't accept tshuva. Beis Din Shel Mala accepts tshuva. You do tshuva, then there's no punishment. Right? If you do yichayv karis, right? Yichayv karis, you yichaylev. But if you do tshuva, then you have kapara, and there's no onesh. But Beis Din Shel Mata doesn't accept tshuva. So that's another important distinction. This is good. So what is the idea of Beis Din Shel Mala and Beis Din Shel Mata? What are these two ideas?
You say that the Beis Din Shel Mata would factor in the fact that your punishment is necessary for your tshuva. Like your punishment here would be part of your tshuva. It's just an inclusive thing. You did something, Beis Din Shel Mata is going to punish you for it. That punishment is part of your tshuva.
It's part of your kapara. It is. Punishment from Beis Din is mechaper on a person.
Meaning that's why you have to get punished, because it is part of you. It doesn't matter if you do tshuva by yourself. It's part
right.
of your tshuva.
But that makes it even more difficult. It's because they're punishing you. They're giving you malchus, right, in order to be mechaper for your sin, right? But Beis Din Shel Mala wouldn't even punish you at this age. So if their entire reason that they're punishing you is simply to help you do tshuva, I mean, they could wait till you're 20. I'm not going to get punished at this age. 20 years old, you're still good. Up until 20. Right? So I once heard Rebbe say something. I don't remember exactly where, but I once heard him say for the idea of the 20, is that a person's bechira isn't really completed. He doesn't really have full bechira until he's 20 years old. Okay? So we'll go with that. We'll see if we can understand what that could possibly mean. But we'll say like this. And the simple pshat like this is that Beis Din Shel Mala punishes a person once they have bechira. Once you have full free will to choose between good and evil, right? Which apparently is only completed at a certain age stage in a person's development. And that's when God will punish a person for his sins. But Beis Din Shel Mata will punish a person even though his bechira is not really fully developed. But so long, once he has das, right? Once you're 13, you're halachically, you're ben das, you have intelligence, you know what you're doing, right? But you might not have bechira to the same extent, free will, but you have das. And Beis Din will punish you. Why will Beis Din Shel Mata, regular court, punish a person even though, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know, I remember one time that like, the whole, one of the ideas by that is that if you wouldn't get punished, then, like up until 13, your Yetzirah is like ruling over you.
Yeah.
It's possible that maybe you would continue to, if you didn't get punished for what you did, then you just, there'd be free reign till free will hits you, whatever that means. And
right.
It wouldn't necessarily take effect for whatever reason. I don't know if
so you're saying that
parents
are tired.
That what?
13 parents bad enough, and now it's up to society.
No, you're not saying. You're saying that what? Once you're 13, that you have to punish the person, or else what would happen?
Or else they'll be. I don't know. I'm not having any right. clear, but basically that the Yetzer Hara will continue to take effect the way it did before you were 13.
Okay.
Because there's nothing holding you back.
Nothing holding you back. So therefore, you have to punish the person.
Whereas the because you have das now, you'll recognize. Oh,
you mean
okay.
The punishment can help the person?
Yeah.
And once he's 13 and he can understand, he has intelligence. If you punish him, he can gain from the punishment, and it could stop him.
Right.
But and that will help him not be a Russia when he's 20 years old, and he'll really be subject to.
I think so.
That's not bad. That's good. But I mean, when he doesn't have das, you punish somebody. He doesn't have das. It's like
it's
not
point. It's
not doesn't really benefit to the same degree. Yeah, definitely, and right. I mean, look, there's an idea of punishing kids, and that helps them. There's an idea of it does, kid can understand pain, but definitely once a person has intelligence, the punishment can definitely have a much greater impact on him. It could really benefit him to a different way than if before he has knowledge. That makes sense. That's a good differentiation. But, and why isn't Beis Din Shalmala do that? So they wait till he's really liable, he's really free will. Right, something about him is okay. We have to explain still why he has free will. But I was thinking something else is that a different approach for Beis Din Shalmala. I hear what you're saying though. It's not bad for Beis Din Shalmala to benefit the person. But I was thinking a different idea is that the Beis Din Shalmala, the earthly courts, it's like the purpose of the punishment is like not entirely to perfect the person, but it's to maintain an ordered society. And if you have people who are bar das, they know what they're doing, and they're going around stealing and killing and. And they're capable of a lot of damage, and you don't punish them, you don't stop them from doing it through punishments, then the society will break down. Like the primary objective of a court is to maintain justice and to maintain a society where there's order, right? Prevent gezel, like the Dormabel did not do, dinim. So therefore, like Beis Din Shalmala, their objective is not, they're not concerned, did you have bechir, did you not have bechir? The question is, do you know what you were doing? If you knew what you were doing, this punishment, that's a good point, will get you to stop. And therefore, we're going to punish you because that will, you know what, you understand the punishment and you'll stop. And if we don't do it, you're a very dangerous being because you have a mind. You do know what, you're intelligent enough to start doing things. And a person in 18, 19 is capable of a lot of damage if you're not gonna be any consequences for him. So their objective is not, they're not going to get Bechir or not. It's not, that's Beis Din Shalmala. A regular court doesn't care if you had free will in the sense, in the metaphysical sense of do you have free will. Of course, if you're coerced, right, if you're coerced, then you're not liable for that. But if you know what you were doing and you had ruts, so you chose what you were doing, you're responsible. But Beis Din Shalmala, it's looking for a different type of thing. It means the full bechira. Okay, so what could that mean? That person's bechira is not complete. So I think there's two basic approaches. Okay, one is to say that I think this is one that Rabbi wanted to say. He wanted to say that it was that like a person has to have like. He has to like his instincts has to develop, and has to go for a certain like period of time, where as he matures and he becomes like aware of his instinctual drives and his passions, and he kind of gets accustomed to them and understands like what it means to control them and the consequences of giving into them, and like he's fully able to appreciate a person has to like become a grow up basically. It's not enough that once you have a mind, you have to develop a certain amount of emotional maturity. And that emotional maturity takes time to develop. It doesn't happen when you're 13. Just because your intellect is developed and you have a mind, you can understand ideas, doesn't mean that your emotional, instinctual world has matured. And the person, that takes time to develop, for a person to appreciate what it means, the difference between his emotional life, his intellectual life, and to be able to choose between good and evil. He's not really ready for that choice until he has a certain amount of emotional maturity. And that happens at a later point in a person's life. Okay, and that's like, and for them, apparently, just like they were physically developed, right, their sexual development certainly was, let's say, took to 100. So apparently that wasn't just a physical thing, but that was a psychological thing. Right, that they didn't have the psychological development of the sexual instinct wasn't complete until 100 years old. So if you want to, you know, kind of take what Rebbe was doing, saying, and kind of attach it to this idea of the when they had children, you could say the primary thing is the development of the sexual instinct. And that kind of, that over a person's life, that develops, and it reaches a certain point of maturity right around the time the person is puberty. He's able to have children. That's when the psychological development of the person's instinctual world is completed, and that's when you're really in a position to have bechira. But until that point, when you're really, when you have that maturity of the psychological, the instinctual, you're not really in a position to choose between between you know what's good and what's evil. You're not really in command of your instincts. You don't have the ability to command them.
It's happening. You have kids when you're 13. It's happening. It's like 7 years. It's happening for us.
That what?
You have kids when you're 13.
You could have kids. Right.
So it's after you need to have the sexual component. In
right, but it's not. You're not mature. Yeah. You're not psychologically mature. You go to a high school. You know, you make a joke. They're going to be laughing pretty hard. Any kind of joke. You know, they're not mature. You don't have that maturity. I don't think until you're until 20. It's about right. I think it's a certain. It's about right. About when it occurs. But I mean, you could go deeper. I'm not really explaining it that clear. I'm just kind of talking around it a little bit. But
you've never had both together.
Of what?
The intellectual and the instinctual.
Yeah, they don't happen at the same time exactly.
Right, you never have both together, so it takes a while to get used to having both together.
Well, that's a good. You mean the instincts have 13-year head start, yeah. And then the intellect develops around 13 years old. You start getting a mind, and then there's like these 7 years where you kind of have both of them together. And that takes time. It's not the first day of an intellect. You have to kind of go through life with your instincts and your mind, and it takes about a few years, 7 years, so a person is really accustomed to what it means to choose between those two things. That's a good shot. I like that. I mean, there's the interplay of your mind and your emotions that takes time to get accustomed to what that really means. That's a good shot. Yeah, go ahead.
And like a halacha, like in Beis Nishama, like you hit the age of 20 and then they start where it's like once they see that your intellect and your...
Yeah, that's what I'm really trying to say. That's what I'm really trying to resolve the stir and rashis of Kodem Matan Torah. I'm saying it's not an exact age of 100. Because just like not every single person had kids at 100. It means a certain age of psychological development.
Whenever that is.
That's why by Sarah it was already reduced down to like close to 20 years old. It makes sense, but even though she was before Matan Torah, since her lifespan was so much shorter, at that point maybe it was 25 years old. You know what I mean? Like... It's or for her could have been 20, whatever it is. It was going down for other Rishon, it was 150 years or something. It means a certain stage in a person's development, which when they're in the Dor HaMabul was around 100 years old, which you can tell by the age that they had children, right? So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not an exact fixed thing, but that's why it could vary. It was getting shorter, it was getting closer to 20 as Matan Torah approached. Once Matan Torah comes, it's fixed at around 20 because people's lifespans are basically fixed. They don't really vary that much. Okay, the final idea of what it means is not going by this when they have children, but idea from the end of a life, right? When a person, the closer a person gets to his death, so then the more ability, the idea, what allows a person to control his instincts, one of the major things is the reality of the recognition that you're going to die. You see, once you're when you're really young and you don't really realize that you're going to die, nothing. You're still getting bigger and stronger every single day. So then you think you're going to live forever for sure, no question. And the problem is when you think you're going to live forever, so you attach a quality of eternality, of infinity to your instincts, to pleasure. Like when you have a pleasure, the chai olam, this world, the enjoyment of this world, it takes on a certain the fantasy that this type of thing is like an eternal enjoyment, or could be, could last forever. I can keep doing this over and over, enjoy myself forever. It has a certain quality of like it's infinite, as it's eternal. And that fantasy underlies all a person's enjoyments in this world. And when an instinct has that quality of eternal, it's permanent, it's very difficult. That illusion, that fantasy of the instincts, it makes it very difficult to overcome the instincts. So Chazal say that if you see your Yetzirah is overcoming you, has methods, the final method is you should maskir yom miso. You recognize you're going to die. When you recognize you're going to die, you're cutting out from the instincts the fantasy of immortality. It's just chayisha, it's just a temporal pleasure. It's a momentary thing. And like you're able to value it as it is. It's a temporary pleasure. You don't overestimate it. Once you cut out from the instinct that substance, the substratum of the fantasy of immortality that you're going to live forever and that this has the permanent quality of infinity, so then the instinct is you're capable of overcoming it. But so long as a person is living with the illusion that he's going to he could live forever, which is possible, right? I mean, it seems to me that at this point it's a possibility, right? But as long as you think it's... Well?
In science?
What?
In science?
No, I'm just saying for me in particular. But so long as you're under the impression that it's a possibility, you can live forever, right? Look, it's true, other people... seems like other people die. That's pretty clear. But who says me? You see, that's the fallacy of induction. Just because everybody dies doesn't mean you have to. You see, there's logically, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to die. Right? Just because every swan is white doesn't mean you can't find a black swan. So a person goes very logical. Use a lot of good logical reasoning why you might not have to die. And until so long as you harbor that possibility in your mind that you might, that you don't realize, like a joke, I'm joking around, but you don't realize that it's, the whole Sefer Koheles deals with this, you know, this problem, the Ram says, deals with this problem. But that fantasy of immortality, it underlies the human psyche. Okay, and when that, until that fantasy starts being broken down, as you get older and you start realizing, hey, I'm aging, so then it basically makes the instincts almost impossible to overcome, because they have this, you overestimate their strength. They have this certain quality of permanency. And once you recognize that yom miso, that you're going to die, so then the instincts, they shift into a framework where you can evaluate them, and you can value them in their proper framework, and it's chayisha, it's temporary, and you can, you're capable of choosing. But until that point, it's not, you're not really in a position. Until you realize you're going to get older and die, you're not in a position to really choose. It's almost impossible to overcome them when you're under that swipe.
Didn't Rashi say you're not going to die?
What?
Didn't Rashi say that you're not going to die?
Who says that?
Rashi, didn't you say that before?
Says that you're not going to die?
Yeah, like me as Mashiach.
Oh, you must Mashiach. B'nai Yisrael. Yeah, but they won't sin either. That's because there'll be no Yitzhahara. And the most Mashiach. God will shech the Yitzhahara, and the Tzadikim are going to cry, and the Rishonim are going to cry, right?
That's how it works out.
Right. B'lam Mavos L'Netzach. There's no more Yitzhahara, Lassim Mavos.
So you don't need Misa either, then?
They don't need Misa either, correct. When the Yitzhahara goes, there's no Misa. A Misa below Chet. Right? Malach Mavos is Yitzhahara. That's once the Malach Mavos is dead, the Yitzhahara is gone, and there's no Chet, and therefore there's no Misa. Correct. But in this world, yeah. But in this world, we have to deal with the reality. So just the main point is that once a person cuts out that fantasy, they can live forever, you become able to deal with just instinctual tie, just a taiva. It takes on a different quality. If it's only temporary, I'm not going to live forever. I'm a temporary creature, and this pleasure is temporary, and then you're able to choose to say, I don't really need that pleasure. But once a person is, if a person's under the spell of immortality, that's a possibility, it's like you can't fight the instinct. You can't fight. It's too powerful, and you don't really have the chiyuv. Okay, cool. That's pretty much it. Good, guys?